morning, before we get into the message, let's bow our heads in prayer. Our gracious Father, as we have just heard the testimonies, we are so thankful to you because it is because of your grace. Because of your grace that any of us are here. And we do thank you and bless you for that. And we pray that you would help us all as a body of believers grow in the knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, grow in our love towards one another, that we would be always ready to serve and to care for each other in this body of Christ. And Father, this morning as we look into your word and what a truly biblical church should look like, we pray, Father, that you would give us insight into your word. You give us teachable hearts. We pray that you would remove anything that is of error from the hearts of your people as you hear my words as I speak to them. Pray, Father, that your word would continue to be pure and holy in our lives, and that we would respect your word for the truth that it lies within. Pray for your help this morning now, in Jesus' name I pray. So as you see on the title, Why Church Membership? There was a story of a pastor who was saying that he needed some quiet time while he was watching over his son and his wife was away. And he had taken a page out of a magazine on which was the world map. And he took that page and he proceeded to cut it up in all kinds of little random pieces. And then he gave those pieces to his son to reassemble them, tape them all back together, and the map of the world in a proper order, thinking that would keep him occupied for an extended period of time. In about 10 minutes, the boy returned and all the pieces were assembled and taped back together. And when he asked him how he did it so fast, he said on the back of the page, there was a picture of a church building. He says, so I put the church together right, and then the world comes together right. So isn't that the way it is? If the church is put together right, biblically, it gives us a proper worldview. And what the church ought to look like. So what does a biblically structured church membership look like? I mean, the whole teaching in Scripture regarding the topic of the church memberships and the relationships that we have with our God, and it begins with that vertical relationship that we have with God, with Christ. There needs to be genuine repentance of sins. There needs to be a true sense of having been justified by faith in Jesus Christ. A person really needs to be saved. There needs to be that clear knowledge and understanding of what Christ has done for you. And as we heard these testimonies this morning, we see what Christ has done into the lives of sinners that were saved by that grace. And there needs to be a continued growing. There needs to be that clear knowledge and understanding of what Christ did for you. In salvation, a sinner is saved by grace and is the recipient of undeserved mercy, having been forgiven of all of their sin only because God the Father set his love upon them. And as we saw last week, we saw that God put his love upon us while we were still sinners. Those that are saved through the shed blood of Christ, who bore the wrath of God upon himself, are saved by faith alone and by grace alone in Christ, and are then adopted into the family of God and are members of what we call the universal church. Everyone who comes to faith in Christ anywhere in the world belongs to that universal church. And because of the extent of the vertical relationship that we have with Christ, it extends further into that horizontal relationship that we have with one another. That horizontal relationship with other believers, those that are saved in Christ, and those that are found in the local church. The group of believers gathered together as a local assembly is called and referred to often in Scripture as the body. Or we call it the church. Not a building, but it is the like-minded saints, sinners, saved by grace, gathered together in one place. So why is membership in a local church so important? First, let's look at what church membership is not. It is not belonging to a secular organization like a golf club or belonging to Lethbridge Fish and Game Association Gun Club or any other association you might think of that you pay your annual dues and their obligations, no other obligations other than you follow the rules of that organization or of their facilities, whatever you may be involved in. Your membership fees cover a certain amount of benefits, and you have the expectations of a good return on that investment of that membership fee. Facilities should be in good repair. It should be a safe place for use. And for that purpose, you are part of that membership, and you have great expectations for the return on your investment and becoming part of that membership. When we have that membership in a secular organization, we're entitled to certain expectations and privileges because we paid for it, and so we have a right to it. We have the rights to receive certain perks and those benefits that come with those perks. That's what we paid for. But with a local church membership, we ought not to have the attitude of joining a church membership so that we can get things our way, that things should be the way I want it. But our heart attitude is to be of one, how can I serve? What can I bring into this church? What can I do to the benefit of others? What am I bringing? I mean, often in life, I've heard the statement of people would say, well, I sure didn't get anything out of that. And my question is, what did you bring? When you're coming into church, what are you bringing? Scripture teaches us that as believers, it is very important for your spiritual well-being that we be joined to a local church. As we read through the book of Acts, you will see that new believers were being baptized and added to the church, which was an identifiable group of people, an identifiable number of people. It started with Acts 1, there was 120 gathered together. Then in Acts 2, verse 41, after Peter's convicting, powerful sermon, and it says, those who received his word were baptized and were added that day about 3,000 souls. And in verse 46, day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with gladness and generous hearts. And they were praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were saved. Acts 11:25, it shows when Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And for a whole year, they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Many of the New Testament letters open with the greeting to the churches, as they were a distinct group of saints identifiable as in a local church. Church membership is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 12 that you are a part, or a member of a whole body. Verse 12 says, for just as the body is one and has many members, all the members are of the body, though many are one body, as it is with Christ. For in one spirit we're all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. And again in verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, individually members of it. Church membership is about being part of a body of believers who have constituted together for the purpose of worshiping God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and for praying for one another and serving one another. So let us look at different aspects of church membership and what, as members, we are committed to and what our responsibilities are in the local church. This is what makes for a healthy church. And I have 7 items that I want to go through. First, becoming a committed church member, you affirm to the teaching and the biblical doctrines that are taught in the local church, which we are Lakeview. Before becoming a member to church member, you have been under the teaching ministry here, and you have a clear understanding of the biblical doctrines taught to you and would affirm to agreement with it. This is important, as being involved with teaching Sunday school or youth group, there needs to be that unity of essential doctrines of Scripture. As a church member, you're committed to biblical instruction, to be instructed, as is the purpose of the church, as instructed by Jesus in Matthew 28. When Jesus came to all of them, all authority in heaven and on earth was been given to me, he said to them. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. He says, teaching them, all of those disciples, all of those that come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were to be taught. And the purpose of the teaching ministry is primarily for teaching of the members of the church, so that the members will be equipped to reach out to the lost outside of the church. For the members to evangelize in the context of your workplace or other connections that you may have. And the purpose of the church then is to teach the members of the church, to encourage them, to motivate them, to be the ones that are go out there when that opportunity arises, when that door opens, you be ready to present the gospel to those that need to hear it. As Paul writes in 1 Timothy 3:15, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the buttress of truth. So secondly, church membership is a dedicated commitment to place yourself under the authority of the leadership of the church. As a member in the church, you are cared for by your shepherds or overseer of the church. This can be a touchy subject, I know, because some of you have come from situations where there was authoritarian abuse. But that does not negate the fact that Christ has ordained the church to have faithful shepherds that care and protect sheep from false teachers. Hebrews 13:17, he says, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. So as members in a local church, we are under the care of the pastoral ministry of the church. And the pastor cannot shepherd or care for those who are outside of the local church. The leaders are responsible for those who are clearly identified as members in a local church. And Paul's instruction to that leadership that was in the church of Ephesus is, as we find in Ephesians 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. Again, we're reminded that Christ obtained us in his blood. He obtained his church. He purchased us in his cross, on the cross. Thirdly, as church members, we commit to minister to one another. As we read in this passage in the beginning from Romans 12:4, for as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. We are to use our gifts for the service to others in the body. We are to use our gifts to encourage one another, to build up one another in the faith, as it teaches through Romans 12. Our love is to be genuine. It is to be brotherly affection. It is to be outdo one another in showing honor. We are not to be sluggish or lazy in zeal, but we are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. We are to be ever reminded of it because Christ saved you. So out of gratitude to the Lord, because of that vertical relationship you have, we will serve others in the horizontal relationship that we have in the body of Christ. Fourthly, as committed members, we are to share with one another. We are to share in the joy that others have, to rejoice with those who rejoice, and to weep with those who weep. Living in understanding and in harmony with fellow saints because of all our individuals that one day will be eternally with Christ in glory. Another part of sharing is we ought to show hospitality to one another, Romans 12:13. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. And also in Peter 4:9, he says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. How can you do that? Try inviting someone over to your home from the church body who you have not had an opportunity to connect with. The more we get to know one another, the stronger the bond will be in the body of Christ. How much more can you encourage one another, and how much stronger will the appreciation be for one another if you would personally go and invite someone you don't know in the body of Christ and invite them over to your home, spend time with them. We're also to share with our finances, to give to the Lord, to the support of the Lord's work here and outside on the mission field. And this church has been extremely generous in their giving, for which the leadership of this church is very grateful. Fifthly then, as committed members, we are called to pray for one another and for the leadership of this church. And that through the teaching ministry, the word of God will be proclaimed faithfully and boldly. We need to pray as a body of believers that God would enable Nigel as our pastor to continue to be faithful and true to the scriptures, and his passion for the word of God would never wane. We need to pray that God would raise up other men in this church to take positions of leadership, that men would love the Lord, that would be filled with the Holy Spirit for the office of elder or deacon. Romans 15:30 says, Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, that we strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit, all prayer and supplication. For he has promised to us in Hebrews 4:16 that we have that free access to the throne of grace. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We need not wait for special prayer meetings in order to pray for the needs of fellow believers, but we do need to pray for others when we say we will. Often, it's easy just to say, I'll pray for you, or we're praying for you, and then walk away without giving it a second thought. We're encouraging all to gather with God's people for prayer on Sunday mornings in the upper prayer room here in the church building, where we can seek God's face before church, where we can seek God's face that his blessing would rest upon this church, that the word of God would have its effect upon the lives of all who gather. And our God and Father, he delights to see his people gathered, praying for the unity of the church and for the good of the kingdom of God. Sixthly, as members, we are to consciously preserve the unity of the church. We are to turn away from those who cause dissension and division in the body. We need to turn away from gossip about others. When a brother or a sister falls into sin, we need to reach out to them to draw them back, for love covers a multitude of sins. We need to encourage them to repent and win them back into the fold. Not talk about them to others, not to gossip about them, but we need to encourage them and to repent. And if they reject that, we need to follow up with the principles taught in Scripture. We are not to gossip or slander or start rumors, but are to rescue them. Galatians 6:1, brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. And if they refuse and they reject your entreaty to draw them back, and as you point out their sin, Matthew 18 principle gives us, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Those are the very difficult things that have to be done in a local church. But by God's help, by God's grace, we can draw anyone who has fallen into sin, draw them back into the fold. We need to do everything within our power to preserve the unity of the church. It's so easy to destroy a church, but it takes conscious effort to maintain peace and harmony and unity in the body. If we lose sight of the fact that Christ redeemed us from sin and eternal darkness, we can become ungrateful and bitter if something happens that may annoy us within the body. But instead of loving and forgiving one another, if we focus on that loving and forgiving spirit, it'll go a long ways in preserving the unity of a church. As committed members, 7, we need to be committed to the regular attendance of the gathered body of Christ. And I'm not talking about a legalistic view that you cannot be away for a weekend or a vacation or any other legitimate reason. But as members, we're encouraged to attend the regular gathering of God's people in the fellowship so we can worship together. Hebrews 10:19, familiar passage. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter in the holy places by the blood of Christ, by a new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. So let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. So how will we be able to encourage one another if we're not gathered together? How will we be able to follow what Ephesians 5:19 says in addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart as we gather and lift up our voices in song to worship together in this place? How will we be able to serve one another if we neglect to meet together? Notice it all comes back to the fact that we have the privilege of meeting with God in the place of worship with other like-minded redeemed saints because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Because our hearts have been sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies have been washed with pure water through faith in Christ. There are many places in the world that people would strive to have the opportunity to gather with fellow believers. And if they would do so and be caught, they would be imprisoned, even killed. We still have that privilege. We still have the opportunity to gather each and every Lord's Day here in this place without having to fear that someone's going to burst through the doors and take us off to prison or line us up and shoot us because of our faith. When we gather together and remember the death and resurrection of Christ, and when we gather to be instructed in the scriptures, our heart rejoices because we have that freedom. We have that privilege. And when we are blessed with the unity in the church, it is only because we gather in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. It is because of his work on the cross that we have this great privilege of being members in the church. It is because of Christ's work on the cross that we want to be members in a local church. For it was for the love of his church, his bride, that he gave himself on the cross, purchasing for himself a special people. So why church membership in a local church? In the New Testament scriptures from Acts chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 3, it is basically how we ought to conduct ourselves as Christians in a local church. It is truly God's ordained plan for ministry until Christ returns to bring his glorious bride home to his eternal glorious presence in the new heavens and the new earth where no unrighteousness dwells. That day, he will have his church gathered together on that day when he returns to call his bride to himself. Does that not stir up in your hearts a desire to be part of a local church where the word of God is faithfully preached? My dear fellow believers, if you are outside of that, reconsider the importance of being part of a local church. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this great privilege that you've given us, that here at Lakeview Bible Church, that we can be part of a church where the word is preached. We can be part of a church where there is fellowship, where there is joy because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are so thankful to be part of a church where the people are so generous and loving towards one another. And Father, we thank you for the encouraging words of Scripture, how important the church is to you, for you have said, upon this church on this rock you will build your church. Upon Christ you will build your church. And that for each and every one of your people, it is a place that we can come to. It is a place that is a place of unity and of peace and of quietness. And we do thank you for that great privilege. We pray, Father, for those that live in the world that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that do not have that place where they can gather together each and every Lord's Day to be part of a body of believers because of the threats, because of the danger, that if they would gather out in the open, they would be destroyed physically. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Help us not to abuse it. Help us to enjoy it. Help us to rejoice in it. Help us to encourage one another in this body of Christ. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen.